All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Psalms, and specifically Psalm 111, 111. My wife told me this morning that she was going to, after the service, identify as a man so she can get a Snickers bar. Huh? Yeah, that's what makes me such a tender pastor. I stay in hot water all the time. Yeah. Yeah, no dinner for me. There, way to go. Yeah. Yeah, it's getting good, isn't it? All right, Psalm 111, are you there? All right, I'm going to just highlight a couple of things here. Psalm 111 is the foundation upon which Psalm 112 has its foundation, its basis, and it's an amazing verse or an amazing chapter. But then Psalm 112 is also an amazing chapter. They kind of go together, you know, like peanut butter and jelly, you know, like beans and cornbread, you know. They just build off of one another. And Psalm 111 speaks to us about the omnipotence and the omniscience and the omnipresence and the immutability, in other words, that God never changes. Amen. Attributes of God. All right, it's just all about God. And it tells us some wonderful things about the Lord. For example, if you look at verse 2, you will see it says, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, and he hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity." In other words, they're surety, they're solid, all right, and judgment. "All his commandments are sure." Now, jump down from there, if you will, to verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Now that's Psalm 111. That's all about God. And what a wonderful God we serve. Now, if you'll look, please, at Psalm 112, Psalm 112 is a little bit different, but it goes along with Psalm 111, but it's a little different in its emphasis. The emphasis in Psalm 112 is the fact that you're going to find in 112 the kind of people who have experienced the God of Psalm 111. In other words, they know the God of heaven. And they know these things about the God of heaven that David mentions in that 111th Psalm. So the people here in verse 12 are folks like you and like me. Those of us who know God through the pardon and forgiveness of sin through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because we know who God is, our hearts can identify with the God that is described here in Psalm 11, because we know that same God. In Psalm 112, you have the type of person that knowledge makes, builds, creates. Does that make sense to you? All right, so look now at Psalm 112. If you look at verse 1, you'll see, "Praise ye the Lord." That, after telling us who God is, David just says, "Praise the Lord." I mean, how could you not praise the Lord, realizing who God is? "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." All right, so you see the difference? He's talking about here the fear of the Lord in verse 10 of 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, now he's going to apply that to man, to us. And he says, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness." Boy, that's good to know, isn't it? Yeah, we don't have to just grope around in the darkness trying to find our way. No, we have the light that lives within us, and that light shows us the way to walk. Verse 5, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor." In other words, he's not a tightwad. He's not a skinflint, you know. "He dispersed. He giveth to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor, with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Now, I want us to pause here for just a moment and look, please, at verse 7 and 8. There are two statements here that I want to tie together and on this Father's Day, and I want to speak this morning on having a fixed heart. Having a fixed heart. And you'll notice here that he says in this seventh verse, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings, in other words, of bad news. You'll not be afraid of bad news. Why? Because the God that's in us is greater than anything or anybody else. That's why. We need not fear if God is with us. All right? So then he goes on to say, his heart is established. Established. So an established heart, a fixed heart. What does that mean to us? Well, let's pray. And then we'll look at it. Father, thank you so much for your love and grace. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. And thank you for this good crowd and the good spirit that's here. And Father, I thank you for the beautiful music we have heard. Thank you for the fellowship we've enjoyed. And now I pray that you'll bless in a great way as we open your eternal word. Bless it to our hearts, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. I want us to take a look this morning at what David is saying here with this man with a fixed heart, this man who has a heart that is established. It's established. It's not something that that he is in the process of building. No, he's established. He knows what he is. He knows who he is. He knows his God, and he knows how to serve his God. Well, I think that's the kind of fathers that we ought to have in our land today, don't you? I think we've kind of walked away from some of that, and I think we need to get back to the fact that that the father of the house, the man of the house, be the spiritual leader and of that home and knows what he believes in. He cannot be shaken from what he believes in. It just amazes me how the world changes just any old which way the wind blows. You know, if wind blows one direction, that's how everybody is. If a wind shifts and blows another direction, well, then we're all going this way. But whatever happened to the person that was established, and he says, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to turn. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to stand for the Lord. And having done all, as Paul said, I'm going to stand. Now, there's a few things that we can find in these verses about how to get your heart fixed. How do you have an established heart? You know, people say, well, I'm all for that, Pastor. I think that's a great idea, but how do I get there? Well, let's look at the Bible and see how we get there. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 1, the first thing that we see here is that a man whose heart is established, a man with a fixed heart, is one who fears God. He fears the Lord. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. You know, I think men today are looking for that which will make them happy and fruitful and successful in life. But I'm here today to tell you that a man who is fruitful and who is happy and who is successful is a man with a fixed heart. He knows God, and he is standing upon the truth of God, and he is a man that fears the Lord, knowing that the Lord is the Lord. And boy, there's people that are just standing, shake their fist in God's face. That always just makes me so nervous. You go out and talk to somebody about getting saved and talk to them about the Lord, and they'll just shake their fist in God's face. Oh, I don't need that. Oh, I don't need to be saved. I don't need Christ in my life. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. A man with a fixed heart is a man that fears the Lord. Now, what's it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it just simply means that you have a right attitude toward God. You know who he is. I mean, you've read Psalm 111 and you agree with it. You know that your God is established, so it just makes sense that he would want his people to be established. And especially the child of God, the men of God. Oh, how we need to stand. I got an email this week from a young preacher, and he said that I was his hero. And I emailed him back, and I said, man, oh, man, oh, man, don't even go down that road. Number one, make your heroes out of dead people. All right, they won't disappoint you. You know what I mean? Make your heroes out of dead people. Yes, indeed. They won't let you down. But he said, I have downloaded everything that I can find on your website that you have preached. And I've listened to it over and over and over. And I admire your stand. I thank God for your stand. And I just sat there and I thought, well, that's one benefit of getting old, you know? One benefit of getting old and not compromising as you do, you know? And I just rejoiced in that. And that's really where the message came from, because my mind went instantly back to Psalm 112. And then I realized, wait a minute, the man with a fixed heart, he knows God. And he's not going to apologize for knowing the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, are you? No way. I'm just so thankful that we have a God, and that God is powerful, and the Lord we ought to just stand in reverent awe of who God is. Just in reverent awe. If you look at 111 verse 10, notice in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. You see, in this psalm about God, the psalmist says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the first thing that he mentions about a blessed man in 112 is that the man who is blessed is the man that fears God. You know, that means a lot of things, but one of the things it means is this. We don't tell God the way it is. God tells us the way it is. You see, it says right here, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. We don't inform God as to which commandments we think are right and which are wrong. That is not our role. Our job, our role is to fear God and obey the commandments that he has given us. And when he says that we're not to put any other gods before him, well, that just simply means we're not to put any other gods before him. Case closed. You can put a great big exclamation point right there. You see, a fixed man knows who God is. He knows what God can do. He also knows what God is going to do. In other words, he knows his Bible. You with me on that? You say, Pastor, you have preached a lot on the second coming and the rapture and the tribulation period and the return and the millennium and eternity. You preached a lot on that. Yes, I have. And the reason is because we need to know God, everything about him. We ought to know what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. We need that understanding. That knowledge of what he's going to do is going to keep us motivated. We'll stay with it. We'll keep in there. The fear of God is the whole duty of man. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, the man who they say was the wisest man in the world. Well, to be so wise, he did some dumb things, didn't he? Huh? Be honest. I don't understand, what in the world was he thinking? You know? 1,000 wives? and or concubines. I don't even want to think about that. No, my mother-in-law was awesome. But evidently, some of you have mother-in-laws who are not so awesome. I'm just saying. But in Ecclesiastes 12:12, this is what Solomon said. He said that in his old age now, this was when he had gotten old, and he sat in his old age and reviewed the things that he had accumulated in life, and all the wisdom and all the riches and all the things that he had. You know, I was thinking about Solomon this week. You know, you talk about, wealthy people, like, you know, they have a garage full of expensive cars, you know, old cars, fast cars, cars that you know, have motors that just unbelievable power. Well, what did Solomon and his buddies do? Did they compare camels, horses, chariots? I don't know. But he had it all. He had it all. And he looked back over all that he had, and he says, here is the conclusion of the whole matter. And what was the conclusion? Fear God. Fear God. Now, that kind of gives me the idea that maybe Solomon had some fear God issues. You know? I mean, he looked back over his life, and the thing that he said was the bottom line is fear God. You won't get yourself in the same mess that I've gotten myself into in my old age if you will learn to fear God. I suppose with great wisdom comes a great ego. I don't know. But he said at the end, this is the bottom line, folks, we need to fear God. Oh, the need for a man with a fixed heart. He knows God, and he knows God can, and his earthly existence and everything about him is dependent upon God. I mean, that man who fears God knows that God could at any moment reach down and take him out of this world. So we need to fear God. Do you fear God? I mean, is your heart fixed on the Lord? Do you know if you're saved and on your way to heaven? Do you know that? Well, if you don't, you need to get your heart fixed this morning. Second thing, look at verse 1. Look at the last phrase there. It says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, comma, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Second thing, a man who fears God loves the word of God. He loves the word of God. Now, this is Father's Day, and I'm preaching basically to the fathers, although this message is, of course, applicable to anyone. But let me ask you men, do you love the Word of God? Oh, I want to challenge you to learn to love the Word of God. You say, how do I do that? You read it. You read it, and I guarantee you, you'll love it. That's just the way it works. The Word of God gets in your mind. It gets in your heart. And it controls your thoughts and helps you to think the right way. Your heart will be fixed as you love the Word of God. Hey, Dad, listen, do you want to be the best father you can be? You say, well, of course I do, Pastor. Well, then let me challenge you to become that good father as you are in the Bible. Read it, love it, learn it. Bring your family to the house of God. Bring your family to church to sit under the sound of God's word. It all works together, folks. And if you love the word of God, then your children are going to love the word of God. I mean, its principles will guide your thoughts, but they will also guide your children's thoughts. In other words, men, get a fixed heart. Get a fixed heart. The worst thing in the world that a dad can do, the worst thing in the world, is to get his kids in church and then get bitter and take his kids out of church. And boy, the devil wants you bitter. The devil wants you bitter. Hey, we got the aisle cleaned here now. All right? We got this aisle cleaned. You say, what happened to it? I have no idea, but after Living Cross, it was awful. And you would have thought that everybody who works for the Church of the Open Door was blind. Yank, 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 yank. That's all we heard. That floor needs fit. I know. I know. Do you know how hard it is to get that cleaner that we use? He's in demand. Why? Because he gets it done, that's why. And he came and he cleaned it. So now what are you going to fuss about? Huh? Let me remind you, great peace have they that love thy law and... Oh, that was weak. And nothing shall offend them. I checked the word nothing. You know what it means? Zip, zero, nada. Number three, a man with a fixed heart, he has a godly home. He has a godly home. A man who has a fixed heart will produce a family with fixed hearts. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart. Man came to me one time questioning that verse. And he said, I don't understand that verse. I said, why? He said, well, I took my kids to church. And they didn't turn out right. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Bringing them to church, that does not say if a man will take his kids to church, they'll turn out right. Well, then what does it say? I said, train. Amen. Train a child. And I asked this fellow, I said, you ever train a dog? He said, well, yeah. I said, what'd you train the dog to do? Well, to sit. I said, when you said sit, the dog sat. What'd you do when the dog sat down? Well, I gave him a treat. All right. Praise your kids for character, folks. Amen. Don't praise talent. Because one of these days, that talent's going to be gone. Gone. I mean, listen. They were talking the other day about the ladies' softball game and picnic that's coming up. Somebody said, are you pitching again? And I thought, oh, I'm just now getting to where I can walk from last year. You know? Oh, you watch these kids, you know, playing ball, and they're out there sliding all over the place and diving for a line drive and all this business. Oh, my soul, I just shudder every time I watch that. I think, how many pieces would I be in if I just did what that guy did? You know? I'd be in a body cast from the ears down. You train them. You train them. You teach them. You ask any athlete. Training means effort. It means work. I've told you all that my granddaughter Ava is a runner. She runs track. And she doesn't just train during track season. She trains year round. And they'll time it so that when Karen and I are down there, she gets a week off. You know, she gets a week off, and she's so happy she gets a week off. But sometimes, especially when they come up here, there is no week off. And she'll get up, and I'll say, "Honey, where are you going?" She'll go, "I got to go train." "Honey, it's 27 degrees outside." "I know, but I got to go train." And she'll click that watch, and off she goes. And an hour or so later, here she'll come back in, sweating, panting, just all out of breath. And I say, "How'd it go?" "Man, it's cold out there." I said, "I told you. I told you, you wouldn't listen to me." "Yeah, it's cold out there." But you ask any athlete, training is effort, it's work. And mom and dad, listen, dad especially, you've got to put forth the effort in the training of your children to serve the Lord. It is not something that's going to come naturally to them. They need your guidance. Ava was recruited by just about every college in America, it seemed like. She got letters from all over. All these SEC schools were wanting her to come and run for them. You know, Alabama and LSU and just a bunch of them. Notre Dame even wanted her. I told her, "She goes to Notre Dame, I'm going to disown her." And so the University of Florida coach and his wife came down, and they met with Lauren and Evan and all this stuff, and went through the whole process of what it would be like to be there. And Evan told her, told that coach, said, "Well, we've sheltered this child. She's grown up right here, under our tutelage. We don't let her run loose. We don't let her go to parties. We don't let her do anything that would hurt her or hurt her future. We just don't let her do it." Amen. And that coach said, "Well, you don't have to worry about that with me." And he said, when they got to the campus to look around, he looked at Evan and he looked at Ava and he said, "You see that over there?" And Ava said, "Yes." He said, "Do you know what that is?" She said, "No." She said, "That's a sorority house. And if I catch you within 10 feet of that, you're off the team." She said, "If you think you're going to come and run for me and party, that's not happening. I catch you at one party and you're off the team." Off the team. You know what off the team means? Off the team. That means all that hard work is for naught. And so, what's the goal? The goal is to race and win the race. And you're not going to win the race by living like the devil. You're not going to do it. Train them. And now that coach said, I will train you. And I will not let up until you are a winner. Now, folks, if the world sees that, you with me? If the world sees that principle, why in the world can't we see that principle? Well, I put my kids in Carroll Christian, la-ti-da. That's not going to guarantee a winner. Now, it'll help them, yes, if they will allow themselves to be helped. And that is where you come in, Dad. You are the high priest of that home. You are the one that lays those principles down for your children. My. Number four, real quick. Look at verse 4 and 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. In verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. In other words, the man with a fixed heart cares about other people. He's not selfish. A man with a fixed heart, a heart that comes from fearing God, a heart that comes from loving the Word of God, a heart that comes from living for God, cares about others. I mean, he helps those who have needs. He cares about others. He's unselfish. He is loving. He is compassionate. I am so tired of this me generation. I was standing in line. You know, you pull up to the gas pump and you stick the card in and it goes through all this thing and it said, do you want a receipt? Yes, I do. Hit that button and it goes, see cashier. So I go in to see the cashier, and there's four people in front of me, and they're all sitting there going, can you run this for me? And the guy, he takes it, and I'm standing there, you know, I'm getting old over here. Come on, I got to go to work in the morning. And then you see this, click, 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 sitting there taking selfies of themselves in line at the Jiffy Mart. Now, first of all, do you not know what you look like? I mean, come on. There's life to be lived here. Go take your selfie somewhere else. Quit holding up the line. Boy, we sure care about ourselves, don't we? But what about others? Jesus said the greatest of all men is the man who is a servant to others. And then number 5, lastly, verse 7, he trusts in his God's strength. Look at that. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He's not afraid of man because he trusts in God and God's strength. You know, what do we have to fear if we have a relationship with the God of the universe? What do we have to fear? A man with a fixed heart will not be moved, but notice, he'll not be moved forever. Forever. He'll not be moved forever. Man, what a tremendous statement that is. Go back to verse 6. Surely he shall not be moved forever. That's a man with a fixed heart. There's so much up and down today. Oh, it grieves me. Folks will disappear. Just disappear. Disappear. Come back 2 weeks later. Where you been? Well, I've been having some issues. Where have you been? Well, my wife told me I need to stay home. What? Yeah, I get real stressful when I get around people. Man. Let's get in a book, folks. And let's do what the Bible tells us to do. Let's get in the book and love the book. He shall not be afraid. He shall not be afraid of evil. The devil came to Paul and said, hey, I'm going to persecute you. And Paul said, well, go ahead. I rejoice in persecution. The devil said to him, I'm going to put you in prison. Paul said, that's okay. I'll just sing and praise the Lord and then pray the walls down and we'll have a revival meeting and the jailer will get saved. That's okay. Go ahead. The devil says, well, I'll just kill you. Paul said, well, that's all right. I mean, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if that's what floats your boat, go ahead and kill me. Paul didn't care. He stood on fixed principles, and he knew what he believed, and he knew why he believed it, and he was not ashamed. That's a man with a fixed heart. Oh, that we had some dads today that would just stand up and say, I'm going to be that man. I'm going to be that man. Nothing's going to knock me down. I'm going to be that man. I'm going to stand, and the Lord will give me the strength to stand. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He is blessed. He is established. He has a godly character. And that's the kind of person that God wants every man in this room to be. A man with a fixed heart. Amen. And a fixed heart is going to make you do the right things. It's just that simple. Let's pray together. Now I'm fully aware, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm fully aware that I am preaching to a whole building full of good, solid, godly men. I know that. You're saved. You love your Bible. You love the Lord. You are a man with a fixed heart. And oh, how I thank God for that. I thank God for that. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many of us will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. I love the Lord. I love my family. I love serving the Lord. Preacher, I need to be stronger and I need to stand. When the old devil comes after me, I need to stand up against him. Pray for me, preacher. Would you lift your hand all over this building? Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Oh, my many, many hands. God bless all of you. God bless you. What a wonderful sight that is. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you. May put your hands down. That's amazing. All right, let's all stand together, please. Everyone standing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being able to extend an invitation now for folks to act upon what they have heard. And Father, fixed hearts, fixed hearts. We just need to be established. Paul said that he was going to stand, and having done all, to stand. Just going to stand. He's not going to be persuaded to change, go this direction. He's not going to follow the world, not going to follow the devil. But he's going to stand upon the foundation of the Word of God and his fear of God. So, Father, bless this to our hearts. And I pray for all of us here this morning who raised our hands. I pray that you'll help us to be that man with a fixed heart. And we'll just say, I shall not be moved, and stand for Jesus. So bless now, Father. Help us all to be more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.